This caused a great deal of controversy. The biographer Plutarch, writing in the Roman age, claims that Pericles issued a congress decree, as it's usually translated, an invitation to all those Greek city-states who had fought the Persians to help in rebuilding the Acropolis of Athens as a common symbol of their resistance to Persia. Well, the Spartans and Corinthians weren't particularly interested in doing this, and most cities just didn't answer the request. And after that, Pericles brought forth to the assembly the proposal, well, in this event, Athens will rebuild her own temples and will draw upon the money of the Delian League to do so. After all, the costs are sort of associated with the Persian Wars. Strong objections were raised to this, notably by the conservative politician Thucydides, son of Milesius, who's a cousin to the historian. And Pericles made two points to the Athenian public. One was, look, if you're not willing to do this through public monies, through the Delian League, I'll pay for it myself and put my name on it. That is, go back to a tradition where aristocrats donated the public monuments, not the Athenian people. And the other point was that he drew home is, so long as we provide protection in the Aegean world and we collect the monies, we have the right to use that money as we see fit. The allies have really taken themselves out of the equation. Well, these two points resonated with the Athenians because, as I mentioned in the previous lecture, the building programs that went on from 447 BC down to about 410 BC put substantial amounts of money in circulation. The architect Menisocles was commissioned to rebuild the western gateway of the Propylaeon. It was a marvelous gateway. It's a little off-center. It's a little unsymmetrical as you approach it. On the right side, there's this jewel of an Ionic temple, the Temple of Athena Nike, probably erected in 425 BC to celebrate the victory over the Spartans at Pylos, which we'll be discussing. And that was a sanctuary, a specialist sanctuary to Athena as victory, as bringer of victory. And it couldn't be demolished and incorporated into the monumental gateway, so it had to be left for religious reasons. But it's a perfectly planned monumental gateway, worthy of any tyrant in Sicily who would admire building it. But here, a monumental gateway commissioned by the Athenian people, which took you through a stoa, which had various paintings on it, and into the central area of the Acropolis, which included a number of important monuments. Foremost, the Doric-style temple of the Parthenon. And the Parthenon was a very traditional building. It is considerable in scale, but as in all Greek temples, its decoration is essentially mythological. The east pediment of the temple shows the birth of Athena. The west pediment shows the contest I mentioned earlier between Poseidon and Athena for the who has the rights to be the patron of the city. The temple was originally a Doric temple, which meant it had alternating triglyphs and metopes, and many of those metopes, which are sculptural figures, including the Battle of Lapiths and Centaurs and other traditional mythological scenes, are now in the British Museum. The inner frieze, which shows the Pan-Athenaic Festival of Athena, that was actually added later during the Peloponnesian War, and that was an updating of the temple. So the temple, as it comes down to us, is the final version, probably finished somewhere around 408 BC or later. It housed the colossal statue of Athena Parthenos, the masterpiece of Phidias. This was an archaizing chryselephantine statue, that is, a statue made of gold and ivory. It is not to be confused with Phidias's bronze Athena Promachus, a classical-style statue that greeted visitors entering the Acropolis through the Propylaeon. The other important point in the Parthenon, and a point I should stress, is all of these temples are essentially the homes of the goddess or the god. And so when one went up to the Parthenon, it wasn't really there to worship. The worship involved taking the cult statue out, having sacrifices in front of the shrine, and then having processions through the city that usually ended up at the theater with sacrifices, invocations of the god to make an epiphany. And so worship was extremely public in its aspects. And the temple of Athena, the Parthenon on the Acropolis, was just a showcase of a temple for the city goddess, who was, just by the size and magnificence of the temple alone, stressed the power of Athens in the favor of the goddess. Across the way is that unusual building to the north of the Parthenon, known as the Erechtheum. That was to a series of ancestral divinities and legendary figures, also associated with Poseidon. And that's a later, very clever Ionic building constructed largely after the period of the Sicilian expedition.